Hello, and welcome to the broadcast for the 25th of October. And I hope you're keeping well, and I hope you're getting ready to enjoy a good week's rest during half term. Do be careful out there, do take care, and do try to enjoy it, even though it might be different and things are not really the way we were expecting them to be. Before we go any further, let's play our little game where I've got five clues and you can guess what I'm thinking of, right? So for 5 points, I am thinking of a drink. And for 4 points, you can have it either hot or cold. Interesting. For 3 points, this is a drink you can mix with other liquids or powders to change its taste. For 2 points, young children are encouraged to have this drink every day. And for 1 point, it is a dairy product. So, did you guess what drink I was thinking of? It is milk. So I hope you enjoyed that little game. Okay, so today we're talking about two parables. And they both are related in a way. They both sort of follow the same theme. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 to verse 14. And if you've got your Bibles, if you can open to that, and you can read along with me. So that's Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 and verse 14. And this is another parable that Jesus taught, and it's one about lost sheep. What do you think a man does who has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost? He will leave the other 99 grazing on the hillside and go and look for the lost sheep. When he finds it, I tell you, he feels far happier over this one sheep than over the 99 that did not get lost. In the same way, your Father in heaven does not want any of these ones to be lost. So this parable Jesus told just after he had been talking about children and how important it was to guide them and to help them learn about God. So a really lovely little illustration of God's love for us and what lengths God would go to protect us and to keep us safe. Because previously, in the other parables, when we've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's all been really, really serious, hasn't it? All your sheep, separating the sheep from the goats, separating the wheat from the tares, and separating the fish at the end. You know, it's all been rather judgmental. It's all been rather, you know, are you good or are you bad? Do you belong to the kingdom of heaven or do you not belong there? So that's all really, really very serious. And that side of God is true. But also true is the fact that God absolutely loves us. And he loves us as individual. So that when this one sheep has gone missing, he notices when we are not there. He notices when we are not paying attention to him. He notices when maybe we're supposed to be praying and we're doing something else or we're thinking something else and our mind is far away. He notices, he is aware of that. So we really need to appreciate the fact that God knows us and he loves us as individual. He's not just thinking, oh, well, one of them is gone off. I've still got 99 sheep, so that's okay. It's not okay. He wants all of us to be in the kingdom. He wants all of us to be his children and to have that relationship with us. So God is immediately aware The shepherd is immediately aware when a sheep is lost, and he leaves the other ones safe on the hillside. They're not going to go anywhere. They're going to graze and sit there and sleep a little bit in the sun, and they're quite safe. But he goes and puts in the effort of looking for that one sheep. So even though God is a judge, he is a righteous judge, and it is his job to tell us when we're doing anything wrong, but there is another side to him where he cares enough to come down to our level, put his arm around us and look after us. So he's not just there wagging his finger, telling us off and telling us when we need to do things. He is also there as a father figure, coming and sitting us on his lap and wanting to know what is wrong and wanting to know how, what can happen to make us feel better. So it completely changes our idea of God. He's not remote. He's not distant. He wants to get up close and personal with us, and he wants to help us in the things that matter to us. So it's a very, very personal, very, very close relationship that he wants. And then the second part of the second parable that we're going to look at is in John chapter, let me have a look. It's the book of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 18. Jesus said, "I am telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in any other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow someone else. Instead, they will run away from such a person because they do not know his voice." Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he meant. So Jesus said again, "I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Those who come to me will come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness. I am the shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not know the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, in the same way, I know my sheep, and they know me. I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheep pen. I will bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one sheep, with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do." Right, so quite a few characters in this parable that we need to look at. But this parable was very much linked to the Old Testament story that Ezekiel wrote about in chapter 34. And it was looking at God as a shepherd who looks after his sheep, who guides them, who leads the Israelites, because they were seen as the sheep It was the Israelite, the tribe of Israel that God has chosen for himself. And they were going to be looked after and guided and led by God in everything that they needed. So this is another parable again that Jesus is using to farmers, to people that understood about sheep and understood the custom of the day of looking after the sheep. And what the shepherd would do is he would find good grassland for the sheep to eat. And of course, sometimes there might be four or five shepherds, all with their sheep. And they would let them mingle together and mix together. And then when it was time for the shepherd to maybe take his sheep to have water or to take his sheep to where there's better grass and better pasture, then the shepherd would just stand there and call out to the sheep. And because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, then they would get up and they would follow the shepherd. So the shepherd didn't have any other way of knowing the sheep. It was the sheep's responsibility to know their shepherd's voice and to follow their shepherd. So that is why, Jesus is talking about the sheep knowing his voice and following him. Right, but we do have quite a few characters in all that we read in those 18 verses. First, we have sheep. We have a watchman who's a gatekeeper. We have a stranger, a thief. We have a shepherd, a hired hand, and a gate. So, first of all, Jesus says that he is the gate. Now, if we think of Jesus, here he says that first of all, he talks about the man standing at the gate, the gatekeeper. He says the man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name. Now this is like God again, knowing us so well and so intimately that he knows our name. He knows how to call to us. He knows what to say that we will recognize in the right way. And we will not ignore him, and because we know it is God. We know it is our good shepherd. And we know that we can trust him. So, like I said, that there would be, lots of sheep in the field. And the gatekeeper would not just let any shepherd in or any person in. He knows the shepherd and he knows that shepherd has got sheep in there. So he goes and opens the gate for the right person. And that is like Jesus. Jesus being the gate that stands between God and us. And Jesus allows that God in to interact with us, because he knows that God knows our name and God is looking after us. So then he talks about in verse 4, when he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And again, this is us having that intimate relationship with God as our shepherd, and that we do not follow anyone else. It is so easy now to be tempted away by other things that are sweet, maybe things that really entertain us, things that that sort of like make us feel happy on a very temporary level. But we should know that following the shepherd is the right thing to do, and it is the best thing to do for us. We shouldn't follow other voices. We shouldn't follow other things that entertain or that make us feel good now. We need to follow the shepherd who has our best intentions at heart. And like Jesus says, we should run away from such a person. We should run away from a stranger or the thief that comes, because he's coming through another way. He's coming through a different way. We should know, we should really be intimate enough with God to know how he speaks to us, when he speaks to us, so that when we get other messages coming through or we get other things, then we know that that's not right. We know that that's not the way God speaks to us. And we know that that's not the thing that will really help us to get the best out of our lives. So we need to make sure that we are faithful to God, and that we do the best things, you know, to stay close to him and to stay within his presence so that we can hear that voice. So gates as well, Jesus said that he is the gate. Gates allow the right things in, and they also keep bad things out. So Jesus is that gate. He makes sure that he lets God and good things into us, but he also keeps us safe from the bad things on the other side. And gates separate what belongs to us and what is public and what belongs to everyone else. If we look at the gates in our houses or the gates on, if we have a fenced area and we have a gate, it sort of shows the demarcation of where our land starts and where other places start. And here you can see that when the shepherd takes the sheep out of through the gate, that they have to follow him. They have to stay close to him so that they will not get lost and they will not be waylaid. And sometimes we might not do that. Sometimes we sort of like follow God to a certain extent, and then after that, we start doing our own things, or we start letting other things tear us away from God, so that we get lost, or we find that we're not in a good place, or we're not happy about things. We have to make sure that we stay under the protection that God gives us, and we have to keep safe. So he has already done all the work of making sure that we can be safe, but we also have a responsibility to make sure that we stay close to us. We stay close to God. Then he talks about in verse 7. Jesus says, "I'm telling you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Others who have come before me are thieves and robbers," and we've sort of talked about that already. And then he says, oh, the famous, John chapter 10, verse 10, which we have talked about as one of the things that Christians should know. It's one of the verses, one of the memory verses that we should know, which is that the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. So how does that happen? How does the thief steal, kill, and destroy? He really tries to steal our joy. He tries to steal the things that make us happy. Tries to steal the moments and the memories that we have. Good memories of other people. Good memories of relationships that we have. He tries to steal that away from us. He tries to kill us. He really does. He really doesn't like us being alive and being Christians. He tries to kill our life and also tries to kill our relationships with other people. And he tries to destroy the good that we have in our lives. He really does try to, you know, if you look at things that are going bad, sometimes it is because you are moving far away from God, and the devil has now snuck in there to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy the things that are good in your life. But Jesus has come that we might have life, not just life, but have it to the full. And this full life includes, but is not just limited to, but it includes guidance, it includes good health, it includes joy, strength. It includes our faith lifted up. It includes all those things and so much more. So that when we are following Jesus, there is nothing that we cannot have. He makes sure that he also gives us the things that we need. But he also keeps us away from the things that we don't need. Some of the things that we ask for are things that we feel we need, but they're not really what we need in our lives. We might just want it for today, but then tomorrow we'll be unhappy with it. Like if you ask for a big car, well, you might not even have your license to have a car. But even if you did have your license, it might cost a lot of money to keep putting petrol in it. So we have to be careful what we ask for, and we have to be careful how we respond when God says no, or when God says not yet. We have to be listening out for that voice. Then Jesus repeats that I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. And this is the sacrificial love that Jesus has for us. He died for us, and he repeats it twice to emphasize how much, as a shepherd, he's willing to do whatever it takes to look after the sheep. Because then he talks about this hired man who is not a shepherd. He is just doing it for the money. This could be equivalent to somebody hanging around you for something that they can get out of it. It's somebody with slightly selfish intentions of why they are in your life, and they're just thinking what they can get out of it. But Jesus is not like that. He's willing to die for the sheep so that when this person who is there, who seems to be providing guidance, seems to be looking after the sheep, seems to be providing protection and taking the sheep to the best food and the best pasture and nice calm water to drink, when trouble comes and when a wolf comes, then that hired person will run away. That is the test. If you have friends that are really great friends when it's your birthday and you want them to come to your party, or you want to hang out with them and all of that, if you have friends that are like that, that's great. But then if they turn away from you when you need help, because as a friend, there are times when it's all good and things are going well, but sometimes you need your friend's support. And if at that stage they run away, or they're not there, or they're not available suddenly, then you have to be really careful to think whether that is a really good friend or not. Because your friends should be there with you in good times and in bad times. Even in times when times are hard or when times are difficult, they can still be there to help you and to guide you, to support you, and to be there to see you through difficult times, not to run away. Because you shouldn't have to hire friends. You shouldn't just have friends for good time. Then Jesus in verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd again. The Father knows me and I know the Father. In the same way, I know my sheep and they know me. So Jesus really wants our relationship with him to be so intimate, just like his relationship with God the Father. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he would spend a lot of time going off by himself to pray. And he would go off and spend time with God. And he would go off and get instructions from God. And he wants our relationship to be just like that. There was even times when he would take the disciples with him and he would say, let's go into the Lord's presence, and they would pray. We should be like that. We should be wanting to spend time with Jesus. We should be wanting to spend time reading our Bible, praying, singing songs of appreciation to him. That should be part of some of the things that we want to do, because we should realize that his side of the deal is to give us everything that we need. He is willing to die for us. So we shouldn't not want to spend time with him. We should be willing to listen to him and to trust him for all the things that we need. So this is a little bit like Jesus was accusing the religious leaders who would have been listening to this message about misleading people, that as somebody, a hired man, that they were not being committed to leading the people in the right way, and that at the sign of trouble, they were not willing to lay down their lives for people. For the Israelites and the people that they were supposed to be following. So Jesus is sort of accusing them of not being good leaders. Because the shepherd, a good shepherd, would not even hesitate to put himself between the sheep and any danger for the sake of the sheep. He would keep putting himself out there so that the sheep would be safe. And so how are we like sheep? Okay, in all this, we've been talking about sheep. And we've been saying that we are the sheep and Jesus is the good shepherd. But how are we like sheep? Sheep cannot really make big decisions for themselves. They can't be trusted to do it. They are quite simple animals that like to follow each other or the shepherd. So they do not always know what is good for them. So if you put any type of vegetation in front of them, they will eat it, even the things that might be harmful. So they need a lot of guidance. They need watching over, and they need somebody to teach them the right way to go. And sheep are not that sort of animal that sort of remember where the good drinking water is. Elephants are very good at that. Elephants will remember water holes. They will remember the route that they took last year. Sheep are not like that. Sheep just wander around aimlessly. So they really need somebody to help them to know where the good water is to drink. That's nice and calm, that they can drink at. So that is similar to us. We are like sheep. We don't always make the best decisions for ourselves. We need guidance to do that. We need guidance to make the right choices in our lives. And we need to know, we need someone else to tell us what is good for us, because we might see something that looks shiny or something that's new or something that looks exciting for now. And then we just move by that and we think, oh, yes, that's what I need. That's what I want. But if we take the time to listen to Jesus, sometimes we could find that that's not the best thing to do. If we listen for his guidance, he will help us to make the right decisions and the best decisions for ourselves, not just for today, but decisions that will be still good decisions in a few weeks, months, or years later. So we've got to have that close personal relationship with Jesus so that we can hear his voice and hear what he's telling us to do and to be guided by him, and so that we can trust him more. So then Jesus, in verse 16, says something that's, well, a little bit different. It's just a little bit off from what we were saying, what we were talking about here. Because like I said, that in Ezekiel chapter 34, it's very much that Jesus is the shepherd, or God is the shepherd, and the sheep are Israel, the nation of Israel. But here in verse 16, Jesus says, there are other sheep that belong to me that are not in this sheep pen. So that's like, okay, where did that come from? But Jesus is sort of thinking ahead to the Gentiles, because he's saying there are other people that I need to bring into this sheep pen that are part of this flock, but they are not yet in this flock. And he says, I want there to be one flock and one shepherd, which is similar to the church that we know today, where everybody is worshiping God. So that seems really much like Jesus is looking ahead and saying, there are more sheep that I need to bring into this fold. And they, you know, this could lead to us thinking about, he was talking about the Gentiles. And we have a responsibility as Christians, not just to listen to Jesus and to follow God and what he's telling us to do, but when we see others of the fold that are not in the flock yet, to bring them in, to bring in other people into believing God and to Christianity. We have a responsibility to make space for those sheep, to allow them in and to see how God wants them to fit in with us. So we're not just to think, oh yeah, well, I'm saved, I know God, and I listen to Jesus's voice, and that's the end of it. Jesus wants there to be one flock and one shepherd. So we need to do what we can to support the other people coming in, and also to work towards bringing those people in as well. So I hope that was interesting. I hope you find that useful. And I hope it helps you to see the love that God has for us. He quite painfully takes the time to show us that even if we were a lost sheep, we could be a lost sheep that he would go and look for, or we could be one of the ones that are still in the on the hilltop eating away. But we just have to be patient while the shepherd gets the other sheep in, because they are still as important as the rest of us that did not get lost. So we have to really trust Jesus and make sure that we are being good sheep and following his voice, and also allowing other sheep to come into the fold. So I hope that was good. I hope that was useful. And I just pray that God blesses you over the half term, and that he watches over you, and that you feel his love and feel his protection, and that in everything that you do, you stay safe and you let God guide you in your life. So stay blessed and have a lovely half term, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.